The Invisible War by Emily Reformat. Chapter 1. Garrison crossed his arms. His mother kept glancing at him from the driver's seat, but he was choosing to ignore her. "You know," she began, "I used to really enjoy going to the farm." Garrison didn't respond. "I know you're unhappy, and I'm sorry plans changed." Garrison shook his head. It was too much. "Dad said I could come for the summer, to his new apartment where he has an 8K high-definition TV. 8K, Mom. Do you even know what that means?" "You don't need more TV. You need to connect with people." She looked at him. "Think of this trip as a real-life video game where you're the star." Garrison rolled his eyes. "Hero, Mom, not star. And how am I supposed to do that in the middle of nowhere?" He sighed. "I can't believe Dad bailed again. He never keeps his word. It's like he doesn't even want to be around me." The guilt got him before he was prepared for it. It ate at his insides like radioactive moths feasting on a sweater. He watched her force a smile, which just made it worse. "The farm is surrounded by miles of woods. When I was your age, I explored them every summer. I dug hideouts, hid treasures. Think of how much fun you could have." "Fun, right. You know, I heard what she said. Your phone was on speaker. She doesn't even want me to come." He thought back to the conversation a few days before. He had walked into the kitchen for dinner when he heard his grandmother's voice. An odd event, considering it wasn't a holiday. She asked about his mother's upcoming trip. His mother paused while straining the spaghetti and turned to her phone on the counter. "About that. Actually, Gary has a new merger he has to negotiate, so he can't take Garrison anymore." "Figures." His mother dumped the pasta in the strainer with a loud plop. "Yeah. So, I'm wondering if you could watch Garrison this summer." "Oh." There was a pause. "Sorry, Rachel, but I can't leave. Someone needs to feed and water the hens. Plus, there's the weeding and planting." No, I mean, can Garrison come stay with you?" "Here." The word was too loud, almost panicky. The microwave beeped. "Yes, there," said his mother, clearly frustrated. She went over, opened the microwave door, and grabbed a jar of pasta sauce. "Ouch. What happened?" "Nothing. A hot jar." His mother stuck her fingers in her mouth. "I really need your help." "What about his other grandparents?" "Really, Mom? Anyway, they're on a 3-week cruise and won't be back until July." His grandmother stammered a little, then talked very fast. "I'd love to help, but the house isn't really set up for children." His mother wasn't giving up. "He's 14. It's not like you have to babysit him. He won't be any trouble. Most of the time, he even makes his own meals." His grandmother made some strange sounds on the other side, like whooshing air. "The chickens are sick," she finally blurted. "What if it's contagious?" His mother rolled her eyes. "It's not the avian flu, Mom. It'll be fine." "But..." His mother didn't let her finish. "Seriously, Mom, what is wrong? I asked for help this one time and you make excuses. You never invite us over. You've barely seen him over the years. Don't you want to get to know your only grandson?" "Of course." "Then do this for me. Doctors Without Borders is my dream." There was silence. His mother pushed the advantage. "Think of this as a way to get to know Garrison better. Who knows? Maybe he'll find you have things in common." His grandmother sighed loudly. "Fine." The irritation and displeasure in that final word haunted him, even now, in the car on the way to her house. "Your grandmother wants you to come," his mother said, staring at the road ahead. He got the feeling she was avoiding eye contact. "She's just busy. It's the stress. She's been handling the farm on her own since my father, your grandfather, died years ago. She just doesn't realize how she comes across." Garrison didn't believe that, but wasn't going to argue. He changed tact. "Why can't you just not go?" "I made a commitment." "So?" "A commitment is a promise, and I don't break my promises." Garrison sighed. He knew she was thinking of his father, in Chicago at this very moment, brokering another sales deal for people who already had too much money. "Besides, it's only for a few weeks," she said. "I'll be back before you know it." Garrison raised an eyebrow. "In that case, why not just leave me home by myself?" She made a face. "Because you're 14, not 18. That would be irresponsible." "Yeah, and a few weeks actually means most of the summer." His mother didn't reply. Garrison glared out the window. There was nothing but fields, edged with narrow strips of wild-looking trees. Not a skate park, video game store, or sign of civilization in sight. He leaned back against the seat, turning his body away from his mother and trying to ignore the pain that continued in his stomach. A half hour after passing through a small town and another stretch of farm country, Garrison's mother finally pulled off into a gravel driveway. A giant maple tree with a tire swing stood on one side, with a rusty wheel against a picket fence on the other. The sign said, "Wagon Wheel Farm." It wasn't much of a farm, Garrison thought. The house took up most of the property. It was a massive white building with enough curly edges and layers of wood to look like a dollhouse, albeit one that needed repainting. In many places, the white was chipping. "I have never understood why she puts out so many chairs," his mother said as she slowed down. "It would look so much better if it weren't so cluttered." Garrison followed her gaze. On the large front porch, there were a lot of chairs. Rocking chairs, folding chairs, chairs with big weaved backs that looked like thrones. Most of them were filled, the people watching the car. His mother drove past them without a second glance, stopping on the side of the house several feet from a large red barn. As Garrison got out of the car, his nose began to itch. Cut grass, hot dirt, and something like day-old dumpster were playing pinball in his nostrils. He glanced back at the porch. Some of the people came around the corner to watch them. Their expressions were not welcoming. "Here he is," sang his mother. Garrison noted the use of her fake cheery voice. He turned and saw his grandmother. She stood a few inches from his mom. They shared a family resemblance, same nose and eyebrow ridge, a face free of any makeup. However, where his mother had brown hair and brown eyes, May's were both gray, and her hair was pulled back. She wore a collared pale purple shirt under a tan vest that was full of pockets. Her tan pants were tucked into black, plastic-looking boots. Overall, she somewhat resembled an old-fashioned explorer, especially next to his mom's t-shirt and jeans. No one moved. No one hugged. "Well," said his mother, after the silence stretched on, "I've got to get going. I have the 3-hour drive back and preparations still to finish. I appreciate this, Mom. I'll call when I get there, but I'm not sure what to expect after I'm at the hospital. Email is probably better." His grandmother nodded. "Garrison," he turned to his mother, "I want you to behave. Be polite." She dragged out the word. "I'll miss you." He looked into her face, one final plea to change her mind. She opened her arms. After only a slight hesitation, he went into them. "I'll make it up to you," she whispered into his ear. "I promise. I love you." She squeezed tight. "Text me when you get settled." Garrison's eyes were stinging, so he shut them and thought about something else. Too quickly, his mother was in the car again, and the dust from the rear wheels spat back at him. He gave his grandmother a sidelong glance. "So what now? Grandma." He choked on the unfamiliar word. She grimaced. "Just call me May," she said, turning towards the house. He really didn't know whether to feel surprised or relieved. She led him through the side door, not towards the front porch, which he was thankful for, since all the people were still staring. They walked into a giant kitchen, the color of vanilla ice cream. There were cabinets everywhere, and two telephones attached to the wall. One plastic, and one even older, metal, with a rotary dial. A couple of people were standing near a large concrete-topped island in the center. "That him?" asked the boy. He was probably a little older than Garrison. Garrison dressed his eyes and tried to stand up straighter. May didn't turn when she answered. "Hmm, I'll put you in the front room. But that's my room, cried the boy. The older man next to him shushed him. He was in a tannish vest and plaid pants. I'll do some rearranging, May said. Then she stopped and turned towards Garrison. Sorry, that was just me thinking out loud. Garrison didn't know what to say to that, so he said nothing. May frowned. Now, here are the rules. No going outside, no opening doors that are already closed, and no going upstairs. Actually, you know what? Just stay in your room. I'll bring you your meals. Wait, what? May ignored him. Yes, that's good. She muttered to herself before turning and walking out. Garrison glanced at the others in the kitchen, trying to read their expressions. Was this normal? The older man didn't react, but the boy brought his finger up to the side of his head and circled it there. Crazy. Garrison didn't smile, but he felt a little better. He went after May. So I'm a prisoner here? No, you're a guest, and guests stay in their rooms. Garrison didn't know what to say to that either. They passed a narrow set of stairs off the kitchen, then went through a doorway into a large hall. The same cream color from the kitchen was on the walls and chunky woodwork along the ceiling. The hallway stretched out in front of him. It seemed almost impossibly long. They passed door after door after door, all of them closed. Are all these guest rooms? Garrison asked, losing count. A couple. Most are upstairs. Garrison pondered that. They passed a grand two-story staircase with a chandelier, and the house just kept going. How many people are staying here? May stopped. A dozen or so, but you won't meet them. I won't? May shook her head. They won't be staying long. It's just me, usually. Garrison recalled the people he saw on the porch. He was about to ask about them, but May opened one of the closed doors and pulled out two white towels and a washcloth. She thrust them into his arms and walked on. A few more doors and she stopped. She pulled a key ring from one of her vest pockets, flipping through a dozen old-fashioned keys. Finding the one she wanted, she thrust it into the lock, but didn't open the door. Garrison looked around. They walked almost the entire length of the house and were near the front door now. Your mother didn't really give me much notice, May said, drawing his attention back. She seemed to be closely examining the doorknob, clear glass cut to look like a large diamond. She rubbed at a spot. It's not like I keep a spare room just in case. I haven't seen you in years. Garrison glanced down. The moths were eating his stomach again. May muttered something he didn't quite catch and opened the door. Garrison followed her in and nearly dropped the towels. The room was a horrible pale pink. It made him think of old ladies with knitting needles. What was it called? Mauve. What wasn't painted mauve, covered in mauve upholstery, or white with mauve flowers on it, was covered in lace. It trimmed the dual twin bed quilts, covered the two side tables, and perched on twin chairs like floppy snowflakes. Garrison closed his eyes. This couldn't be real. He opened them again. The room was still there, still mauve, still awful. He barely noticed when May left, quietly closing the door behind him. Chapter 2 Fart Nuggets. Garrison threw down his portable video game after dying for a fifth time. Though it was a "Sorry I'm too busy for you" present from his father, it helped take his mind off his current situation. But now he was frustrated. He looked around. There were two beds in the room and two dressers. At first, he was worried about sharing. After all, that boy in the kitchen called this his room. Although, for the life of him, Garrison could not understand why anyone would want such a place. A few hours passed, however, and no one showed up to claim the space. Garrison supposed that meant it was his. At least there was an attached bathroom. That was convenient. Plus, it was blessedly white tile, no pink in sight. Garrison took his cell phone from his pocket. It was from his mom, so nothing fancy. Prepaid Android. She said it was more than enough. He should be grateful. Yet, there was no service. He went into settings to search for Wi-Fi. Not a single modem appeared. He wondered how that was even possible. Unsure what to do next, he leaned back against the bed pillows. The ceiling had cracks running all through it, and the plaster was uneven in places, making ridges and valleys. If he squinted, it almost looked like a 3D map. He imagined deltas and mountain ranges. Then something registered in his brain. Someone was yelling. Garrison could tell it was a man, or maybe a couple of men, near the front of the house. He got up and opened his bedroom door. Through the front windows, he could see the people on the porch bunched up in a group. A word rose above the din. Thief. Curious, Garrison decided to move forward. No one else was in the hall. Just as he reached the door, a deep voice said, "I plan to turn it in." Garrison looked through the door's intricate main window. In the middle of the group of people on the porch was the boy from the kitchen. He was glaring at a man in a brown suit who was, for some reason, sucking on his fingers. "Of course you did," said the boy. "Hence, it's in your pocket." The brown-suited man bent over him menacingly. "Are you accusing me of something, Tuck?" The boy didn't seem intimidated. He crossed his arms. "I believe that's exactly what I'm doing." Garrison saw this type of standoff after school sometimes, behind the maintenance shed. He held his breath. Suddenly, May came up the porch stairs. Her boots echoed on the wood, making everyone turn. They all started talking at once. "Enough," she shouted. "We have plenty of problems without accusations being bandied about." She looked at the boy. "People are innocent until proven guilty." She didn't wait for a response, but turned to the front door. Garrison stared, mesmerized by the aura of power that surrounded her. He never saw that before. People moved out of her way. They looked down as her gaze settled on them. It was unnerving. He didn't want to be next. He stepped back from the door, searching for a place to hide. There was a large grandfather clock nearby. He flattened himself against its side just as the door opened. He held his breath. Footsteps and May's back. She didn't stop. When the hallway was quiet again, Garrison peeked out. On the porch, the tension was gone. People were back in chairs or leaning against the railings. Garrison stepped slowly through the door and looked around. The boy he saw in the kitchen earlier was still there. Tuck was what the big man called him. Garrison took a few steps in his direction. Tuck met his eyes. "It took me weeks to perfect a shocking wallet," he said. Garrison knew his mouth was open. Was it his wallet? "No," answered a stocky blonde man as he came towards them. He stopped, looking Garrison up and down for a moment. It felt a bit too long. Then the man smiled at Tuck, who stood up straighter. "So young, yet so gifted. Whoever has been taking things will think twice now, all because of Tuck here." The man clapped Tuck's shoulder. Tuck nodded. It was getting out of hand. People didn't feel safe. Someone had to do something. "And you were perfect for the job," the blonde man said. Then he winked at Garrison before going inside. Garrison examined Tuck. Now that he was closer, he could see that Tuck's hair was short and black, spiked up a little. From the set of his eyes and round face, Garrison thought he could have Asian ancestry. "You're May's grandson." Garrison couldn't tell if this was a question or a statement, so he just nodded. "Why are you here?" Garrison was caught off guard at the accusatory tone. "What do you mean?" Tuck raised an eyebrow. "May never mentioned you, ever. And suddenly now," he waved a hand out at the yard, "when all this is going on, you show up." Garrison glanced quickly out, but saw only grass and farm buildings. He turned back. "You mean the stealing? I just got here today. It can't have anything to do with me." Tuck leaned back a little. Garrison got the feeling he said something wrong. He decided he didn't want to talk anymore. He wasn't very good at this sort of thing anyway. He retreated to his bedroom and shut the door. Grabbing the portable video game, his final thought was that dying a sixth time would be better than another embarrassing moment with people.